Those of you that remembered when we studied the book of Psalms, Psalm 55 was written by David when his son Absalom rebelled against him. Absalom had deceived the people and it had raised an army, so to speak, and even some of David's general wasn't with him, but some of the other generals that served in the army was with him. And he made known his intention to come and take over the kingdom from his father, King David. And when David heard this, he had to flee. He didn't know what the odds were. He didn't know how many people were for him. He didn't know how many were against him. But he and his court, he and those that were loyal to him, fled from Jerusalem. And it was really a double blow to David because not only did his son Absalom rebel against him, but one of his best friends, one of his counselors, a guy by the name of Ahithophel, sided with Absalom and was advising Absalom. And in Psalm 55, David was talking about that, and we didn't read them, but let me just read a couple more verses for you that talks about the heartache that David had about this. He says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hidden myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance." Talking about his good friend, Ahithophel. "We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn thorns." So David was on his way out of Jerusalem. He was leaving the throne. He was leaving the palace. He was leaving his rule. He was leaving the house of God. He was leaving the Ark of the Covenant. And he did not know when he was leaving whether he would ever come back or not. In fact, when the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant out as he was leaving, he said, "No, take it back. I don't know if I'm coming back or not, but it belongs here in the house of God. And if God favors me, he'll bring me back to it." Everything in David's world on this particular day was turning upside down. Everything in David's life was changing. I mean, his son that had been in exile for a while and had been back just for a few years had turned against him. This dear friend who was his advisor and counselor had turned against him. And so he was running away from Jerusalem. And as he ran, the words through this psalm came into his mind. And I want to use as my text this morning the last phrase of verse 19 that Brother Chuck read where it says, "Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. You see, as David was leaving Jerusalem, he looked over and he saw a group of people that weren't leaving with him. He didn't know if they were for Absalom or not, but he knew that they weren't going with him. They weren't leaving their homes. They weren't leaving their God in the Ark of the Covenant in the house of God. Their life wasn't turning upside down. And David looked over them as his life was completely turned inside out. And he looked over at them and he said this, "Hey, I feel sorry for you guys. There's no changes in your life like there is in mine. And therefore, you don't fear God like I do." I want to make five statements this morning. Number one, life is a series of changes. God made it that way. Change is necessary for life. Change is necessary for a happy life. And let me just tell you, God's put change in our life every day. And because it happens every day, we take it for granted. But change happens every day. That's why during the day there's a morning, there's an afternoon, there's a night. Can you imagine how bad it would be if all the time, all day, it was morning? You know how you feel after you wake up? I wouldn't want to feel that way the whole day. I'm glad after I'm up for a couple of hours and have my grape juice and orange juice or whatever I'm drinking and get awake. I would not want it to be morning all day long. I wouldn't want it to be afternoon all day long. I like the afternoon. I mean, after lunch, I'm ready for my siesta or nap, whatever you want to call it. And I like the afternoon, but I would not want it to be afternoon all day. I like the morning. I like to see the sun come up. Some of you have never experienced that. You ought to try it sometimes. But I like to see the sun come up. I like to feel it on the heat of the day. And then I also like to see it as it goes down. I like the change that God's put in every day, morning, noon, and night. I like the fact that we have different seasons. Last week we had them all four right here in the same place. But I like the different seasons. I like winter. I like spring. I like summer. I like fall. And I'm glad that God put those into our life and made those part of every year. God made it to where we have changes just because we get older. I mean, we start out as little babies, and then we're children, and then we're teenagers, and then we're young adults, and then senior citizens. And God knows that that we need those changes, and that's what life is all about, a series of changes. And we look forward to them. I mean, in the middle of winter, we were looking forward to spring. And then summer gets here, and we enjoy summer for a few weeks, and then we say, boy, I'd be glad when fall gets here. And then we get tired of raking leaves, and we say, boy, I'll be glad when winter gets here, and then we're sorry that we ever wished for it. But we look forward to the changes. Every little two-year-old can't wait till they get five so they can go to school. Every grade schooler can't wait till they get old enough to go to high school. Every high schooler can't wait till they graduate and become an adult. And then you go to college and you say, I just can't wait for college to be over so I can start my life. And then you go to work and you can't wait till you retire. But we look forward to the changes that come. So life is a series of changes. Number two, our happiness is dependent on our attitude and our acceptance of those changes. The happy people in this room this morning are those people that realize that life is made up of changes and they don't fight against it, they don't rebel against it, they just said, okay, I'm going to take the changes as they come. We have some young couples that are about to get married. In fact, Mark and Amy are getting married this Thursday night. I'll say this to them. I've said it to other young couples that I've counseled that are getting married in a few weeks. It's going to surprise you the changes that come after you get married. I mean, that handsome, prince charming, that courted you, that was thoughtful, kind, well-kept, it's going to change. I mean, some of the promises that he made to get you will probably get stretched or broken in some cases. And he won't be as charming all the time. And he might not be all the time as thoughtful as he is now. And he might not smell as good as he does right now. There's going to be changes. That sweet, darling princess that was even-tempered and flexible and sensitive is going to change. And there's going to be times where she'll get impatient and be inflexible and be insensitive. And I'm just telling you, I mean, the married couples that are here, I mean, it may be in various degrees, but those changes happen. And the happy married people are here this morning are those that knew the changes were coming and said, I'm going to accept those changes. I'm going to live with those changes. I know they're coming, and I'm ready for them. I was talking to a young couple a couple weeks ago. They just had gotten married, probably been married 6 months. And the changes came fast and furious. And she was ready to go home to mom. And he was ready to buy the plane ticket to send her home to mom. Because they didn't realize that it wasn't going to be. I mean, you can't stay on your honeymoon, you know, for forever. I mean, life has to start and changes come. All of us are going through changes in our life. Not just the morning, noon, and night. Not just the spring and summer and fall and winter. But we have changes. There's changes in our relationships. There's changes in our friendships. There's changes in our work status. There's changes in our health. And some of those changes, we'd like to put up our hand to God and we'd like to say, no, thank you. I don't want those changes. But the happy person is the person that realizes that change is a part of life and we need to have the right kind of attitude. Number three, And here's an important point. Change is what causes us to trust God. Change, when change comes into our life, that's what causes us to trust God. David was about to find out a lot more about his God than he knew. He was being driven from Jerusalem. He was being driven from the house of God. He was being driven from the Ark of the Covenant. His son and one of his best friends had turned against him. And they were about to go into battle. And David was about to learn how good his God was when things turned bad. He was about to learn how able God is when you can't control the circumstances and you can't control the change. He was about to learn that God is still good. You see, there's a certain complacency that comes into our life when we don't have any changes. There's a certain law. There's a certain security that when everything stays on an even keel and there's no changes in our life, here's what happens in most of our lives. We begin to take God for granted. I mean, we don't turn away from Him, but we forget and we don't go further in our Christian life to learn more about God and what He's capable of in our lives. And we just sort of set when everything's on an even keel and we're happy and we might even be a good Christian in that we go to church and we do the things we're supposed to do. But God says, no, I want you to learn to trust me more. I want you to get deeper into your Christianity. I want you to get deeper into your faith. I want you to grow. I want you to know that even when the bad times come, you can depend on me because I'm able. And that's why God sends changes into our life. That's why He shakes up the status quo. That's why He turns our life upside down and inside out so that we will know that He's trustworthy even in time of trouble. And that's what David was saying. He says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. There's nothing going on in their life. They're not running away from the city. Their son isn't rebelling against them. Their best friend isn't leading the charge against them. You don't know how I've had to turn to God. You don't know how much I'm depending on God. I feel sorry for you because you're in the status quo. There's no changes in your life and you're not being drawn closer to God. Number four, we're always happier. Now listen to this. We're always happier when we have to trust God more. We always are. We are always happier when we have to trust God more, when we realize that we need Him. In fact, I'll tell you what, God is a lot happier with us when we trust Him more. Let me just talk to the parents here for just a minute. You think with me for a second. When were the happiest days of your parenthood? And I submit to you that maybe not the happiest days, but one of the happiest days was when you brought that little baby home from the hospital. And you looked down at that little squiggling person and you realized that that little person depended on you for everything. They couldn't eat. They couldn't walk. They couldn't keep themselves warm. They couldn't keep themselves cool. They could not do anything for themselves. You had to do it all. And they depended on you for everything. Do you know that's what God wants from His children? He wants us to depend on Him for everything. You know when parents' hearts start to break? When that little baby gets up and starts eating on their own. Starts going to the bathroom on their own, but I was happy when they did that. But when they start doing things for themselves, they get a little bit older and they're able to take care of themselves, and then they go out and get a job and start to work and are able to buy things for themselves. And the heartbreak for a parent is when that child leaves home and says, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I can take care of myself now. And a real heartbreak is when that adult child says to their parents, I don't need you at all. That's what breaks a parent's heart. When a child says, I don't need you at all. And I want to tell you something this morning. That's what breaks God's heart. When we as his children tell him, we don't need you at all. I'll say again to husbands and wives, I'll tell you when you are the happiest in your marriage is when you need each other. And you realize that you need each other. Too many husbands and wives have made themselves isolationist and says, hey, I can live my life without you. I've been doing some counseling. And one of the sessions we talked about, what's your expectations? What are your expectations of him as a husband? What are your expectations of him as a wife? And on that particular day, I told this young man that was about to get married, I said, I want to tell you something about your bride-to-be. Your bride, more than anything else, wants to be needed by you. Yeah, I know we live in this age of women liberation, and if that's your cup of tea, that's okay. But I tell you what, I've never known a wife that did not want to be needed by her husband. Never have. Never have. And God wants that from us. He says, I want you to need me. I want you to depend on me. And he is the happiest when we depend on him. And I'll quickly say as I close, we are the happiest when we depend on him. You see, if I am Mr. Macho and I say, hey, I don't need God. I can get by in this life without any help at all from him. God just sort of steps back and says, go ahead. Go ahead. And when you realize that you're facing this world by yourself because you've told God that you don't need him, you're in trouble. I could go around the room. There are people sitting all over this room this morning that have said to me, in not so many words, but they have said to me, I don't know how people make it without God. I just don't know how people make it without him. And what they're saying is, from that position of being totally dependent on him, because the circumstances are completely out of their control, their life has changed, and there's things that happen that they can't control anymore. They have to come to God, and they have to say, God, I can't do this. I need you. That's when you're the happiest as a Christian. And then number five, so when changes come, rejoice and be glad. Because God is giving you a new opportunity to trust him more. You see, when changes come, and I'm talking about changes like when a spouse dies, or when a spouse gets sick, or when a friendship is broken, or when a financial reversal happens, we want to sit back and we want to pout and we want to get mad at God and we want to say, I don't know why you let this happen in my life. I was trying to live a good life. I was trying to serve you. I don't know why you let this happen to one of your children. And God says in that still small voice, I let it happen because I wanted you to trust me more. I let it happen because I wanted us to get closer. You didn't have any changes in your life, and you were happy where you were in your Christian life, and I wanted you to be closer to me. And so I let those changes come so you'd realize you'd have to depend on me. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. He just wants us to be closer to him. He wants us to depend on him. That's why we sing that song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So let me ask you this morning, what kind of changes are coming in your life? Some of you are here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. And there's some things happening in your life today that you just don't understand. Can I tell you what God's trying to do in your life? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to realize that you need Him. He's trying to get you to understand that there is an eternity and your soul is going to live forever somewhere. It's either going to be heaven or hell. And all the things that he's letting come into your life is him knocking on the door of your life saying, you need to get saved. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You can't get right with God any other way but through Jesus. We pictured it in the Lord's Supper. Every song we sang this morning was about the cross. Angie's song was about the Lamb of God who went to Calvary to die for us. That was the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning, why don't you come receive the Lamb of God? And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, could I invite you and could I encourage you to come and do that this morning? Why walk out of this place and reject the one who gave his life for you? Would you get saved this morning? Most of us are Christians here today. The vast majority of us are already on our way to heaven. What's happening in your life? Are there some changes? Probably. Don't get mad at God. Don't say, woe is me. Be glad. Because God's got his arms out and he's got his arms around you and he's sort of pulling you toward him. He says, hey, I want us to get a little bit closer. I want your faith to grow. Rejoice. He's giving you another opportunity for your faith to grow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple truth that comes from your word. And I know, Father, there's many people in this room this morning that are going through it. There's some significant changes that are occurring in their life. They're worried and they're scared. And I pray, Father, that you would accomplish your purpose. That you just pull them closer and they'd be drawn closer to you. Their faith would grow. Their trust would grow. They'd realize, like David did, that there's a God that's able, that can take care of us even when our world is turned inside out and upside down. There's a God that can take care of us. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray as the Holy Spirit's spoken to them this morning about their need to receive Christ, that they'd understand that they're a sinner. They'd understand that there's a penalty for that sin. And Father, the glorious light of the gospel would break upon them and they'd understand that when Jesus went to Calvary, he paid the penalty for that sin. Offers them freedom. Offers them eternal life. Offer some heaven simply by coming and receiving him. And so, Father, I ask you to bless the invitation. Help those that need to come for salvation to come. Help Christians if they need to come and fall on their face at this altar and just say, thank you, God, for what you're putting me through because I know you want us to get closer. Bless the invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.